Amen.
Hey, we started talking last week about this little series about identity, about who you are. Because the big question is, who am I? I mean, think about it. Have you ever seen like one of those TV shows or heard of like Amnesia? Like somebody hits their head or something like that, and then they forget who they are. Like, think about that. If you knew somebody like a family member or a friend that hit their head and they got amnesia, like, what would you do to remind them who they are? Like, what questions would you ask somebody with amnesia? Like, think about it, right? Like, what would you do? Like, if somebody forgot who they were, what would you need to tell them to remind them of who they were? Because they completely forgot. I mean, could you imagine waking up and looking in the mirror and thinking, who is that? That'd be super freaky. But it happens to people all the time. I remember I had someone, I don't think she's here, but we had, I had someone and she got into an accident. I went with her to the hospital and she had hit her head and she had forgot everything that happened that day. And she would remember it. You remember? She would remember like the last 30 seconds and then she'd forget it. And it was really scary. And could you imagine, like, what would you tell that person? What would you tell that person to remind her or him who they were? You know, what about you? Like, if you forgot who you were, what would you want your family to tell you to remind you of who you are? Would it be the TV shows that you watch, the clothes that you like to wear? Would it be your middle name, your first name, your last name? What would you need to know to remember who you are? Would they ever tell you about who your friends are? Like, you remember Lil Miney, Moe and Jack? Lil Bobby? Lil Paco? Right? Tommy? Gina? Right? What would you need to know? Like, do you remember you go to this school and you like to part your hair on this side, not that side? Like, what would they need to tell you? Like, would they need to tell you that one secret song that you don't like to admit that you really like? That Boys the Men song? That Bieber song? Right? You're like a closeted Justin Bieber fan. You don't want to tell anybody. That's the stuff you put on your headphones when you're in church and you should be listening to Pastor Richard, but you're really listening to your headphones. We know it's Justin Bieber, okay? We know you don't got a lie to kick it. It's okay. But what would it be the fact that you like soccer? What do you identify with that would remind you of who you are? That you're a nice person, a mean person, that you're kind of grumpy sometimes if you don't eat breakfast? What would it be? Because these are the things that make us who we are. Now today we started talking yesterday. Or excuse me, last week about identity. And I want to get into this because right now in your life, right now in this time, you're identifying who you are. You're establishing, this is who I am. You're finding out, you're discovering, you're creating the kind of person that you want to be. It's happening right now. The things that you like now, chances are they're going to begin to follow with you the rest of your life. You don't know this, but your brain right now, the things that you do right now, your brain is deciding on the things that you want to keep. Like, this is like a brain science thing. I know we're not in anatomy today, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about your brain. But right now, the way your brain is growing as a teenager, the things that you do all the time are the things that you're going to be good at for the rest of your life. Kind of scary, huh? That's a lot of Call of Duty, right? Hand-eye coordination. So you've got to determine what things are really important with you, the things that you want to keep for the rest of your life. Is it your sports? Is it your academics? Is it school and reading? Or is it, what is it that you want to be a part of you for the rest of your life? Is it how much you know about the Word of God? Or is it the way you treat your friends? Because those things, you're training your body, your mind, your brain to begin to stick with those kind of things. Now, it's interesting because there's a lot of different things that you can do to describe yourself. I'm a really nice girl. I like to go on long walks by the beach. I like that one Snapchat filter, the Coachella one. It's so cute. Makes my eyes really big. That's my best feature, my eyes. Or you can begin to get a little bit deeper in how you define yourself. See, in Ephesians 2, if you're there, I want you to take a look at it. Ephesians 2:10, it says this. It describes you. It describes who you are, and it says, for we is we. Me and you is we. For we are his workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created who? In Christ Jesus, for what? Good works. The works, the plans that God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. See, the Bible says we are his workmanship. That's what you are. Now, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in like this language called Greek back in the day, old Greek. And that word is the word that means poem. Like God created you like an artist creates a poem. You are like a piece of art. You guys are like a masterpiece, a workmanship made by a master's hand. See, a lot of times we can be told that we're an accident, we're a mistake, you know, you were a surprise. Maybe you can feel like, sometimes we can feel like we got the leftovers, right? Like we got the last part of the gene pool of the family, you know, like, why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you stop saying that, right? So we can feel like we got like the short end of the stick sometimes. But here, this Bible verse says something really opposite. It says that you are a work of art. It says that you are God's masterpiece. It says that you are something that God thought about, and you are part of his best work. You're like the one that he likes to show off. Like, hey, like, could you just imagine God gathering all the angels around and say, hey, look at this. You thought you've seen a lot? Check this out, angels. I'm gonna wow you. Whew. Caleb. A poem crafted by the master's hands. Right? Like, that was you. God put a little dash of extra spice for you. And you. Everybody's just different spice, like basil and thyme, and you know what I'm saying, like that. Little cumin over there. Right. God made you to be somebody that's kind of special. And the problem is, a lot of times we don't always believe that. God made us to be his workmanship. But what happens is we let other people define who we are, and we forget who God created us to be. Does that make sense? I remember as a kid, I was going into seventh grade, and I had just gotten this new portable music listening device called a CD player. And it was nice because I didn't have to use my my cassette tape player anymore. Right? I'm getting old here. And I remember I was so excited because it had like a 15-second shock-proof feature. So like you could shake it for 15 seconds and it wouldn't skip. Right? I was pretty tight. So I could only go running with it for 15 seconds at a time. It was like hot stuff, right? And I remember buying CDs for it, and they could like each CD could hold like 15 songs a CD. It was like, whoa, we're talking crazy. And it was only on one side; I didn't have to flip it. It was like revolutionary. And I remember one time I was listening to CDs in my bedroom, and going into seventh grade. And my aunt walked in. And I'm like turning it off. She's like, "What are you listening to?" I was like, she let me listen. Because they would go over my ears, not in them. And she listened to it, and it was Mozart. Not going to lie, it's true. It was classical music. And she's like, oh, mijo, you got some classical music. Hey, I was seventh. I didn't know. I found it. You know, my friends gave it to me. I was like, oh, all right, yeah. And I remember being really embarrassed about it because I was like digging on some classical music. And she's like, mijo, you don't have to be embarrassed at this. This is wonderful. I was like, you're making it worse. right? I was embarrassed because I thought like, this is so nerdy. But I've learned to embrace the inner nerd. I just unashamedly, I love it. And I remember just feeling this crazy peer pressure of wanting to like be super cool, because I mean I listened to Green Day too. Like, that was our first CD I ever bought, was Dookie. But that's like, never mind, that was the 90s. And I remember being so embarrassed because I wasn't comfortable in who God created me to be. I hadn't fully embraced the me, the poem that is Richard Dean Villanueva Jr. That's me. The junior right here. Not the third, just a junior. So thank you. Thank you, all my juniors in the house. Yes, Rod 2, score. Okay. No, no, hold on. Wait a minute. Okay, so we get stuck in this place. Now, my thing was classical music, but don't get me wrong. I put in some deep house afterwards, and we were cool. Turn up the bass. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Anyway, and I had to learn to do that. And what happens is sometimes God has gifted you, talented you, made you, created you with something that you're good at, whether it's sports or whether it's dance or whether it's friendliness. And maybe God's gifted you in a certain specific way. And we have to be able to just embrace the way God created us, because God has made you in such a way that nobody else can do what you do. Like if you try to be somebody else, the entire world was just robbed from you being who God created you to be. Like the world is at a loss because you're too busy trying to be somebody else. When you just need to say, you know what? Maybe God didn't make me like this person. Maybe I love to sing, but I just can't sing, and that's okay. I'm gonna be okay with that. Maybe God's made me to be talented in a specific way. Look, you can't compare yourself to somebody else. Your shape, your size, your talent. You can't compare, you know, I wish I was more like this guy or this person, or I wish I could just be like this star. I wish I was shaped this. You can't do that because God has created you masterfully and wonderfully. In Psalm 139, the Bible says that you were fearfully and, you guys know this verse? You were fearfully and wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully. You are full of wonder. You're full of it. Wonder. Wonder. You're full of wonder. Wonder. That's why you're so confusing. Because you're wonderful. Right? Because wonder is like, woo. That's what God says about you. You are fearfully, because you scare people. No, that's not what it is. And wonderfully made. That's why your life is so valuable. That's why God hates things like bullying. That's why God hates things like murder. That's why God hates things like suicide. Because every time a person hates themselves, every time a person wishes they were somebody else, you're basically saying, God, I don't like what you made. Right? Like, that's insulting. Have you ever had somebody make fun of, like, when you were like a little kid, make fun of your like drawing? Like, that's jacked up, right? What is that? Is that a kangaroo? No, that's my mom. Oh, your mom's weird. It's like, no, I'm a 5-year-old, and this is the way I draw my mom like a kangaroo. Like, that's jacked up. It's jacked up when somebody makes fun of something that you worked really hard at, right? They make fun of, like, whether it's the way you danced or the way you sing, or maybe it's the way you drew that picture, or maybe it's like a report, or like you wanted to like have a really good comeback and make fun of somebody, but you messed up the words and then they made fun of you because the way you made fun of somebody else. Like, I worked really hard to make fun of that dude. It didn't work. That's the worst. You're roasted. Roasted, roasting other people. That's terrible. And it cuts to the core, because That's your work. You're God's work. Why? Who are you to make fun of what God did? Look at the mirror and say, I wish, if only. Who are you to tell God that he made a mistake with you? Right? Who are we to make fun of or bully somebody else? Because God made that person. God created them with strengths and talents and gifts. You got no, if you don't like somebody, you better take that to Jesus, because that's who you got to talk to about that. That's why. Yeah, that's not, yeah. Good luck on that one. See, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that he knit us inside of our mother's womb. And there's a reason and a purpose for these things. See, here's what I found, is that insecure people, they identify themselves by the people around them. Right? Like, a person that's insecure, they don't really know who God created them to be. An insecure person, a person that kind of, you know, they're here, they're one way today, and tomorrow they'll be another way. That's because they're looking at their friends to define who they are. And that's not very smart, because some of your friends are not very smart, right? And some of our friends don't even yet know who they are. Like, you can't let Pastor Richard, You can't let your mom, you can't let your best friend tell you who you are. Because those things change, right? See, or sometimes even this, by the things that people say, you can't let those things define who you are, because that's what an insecure person will do. Or the way people like you, like you define yourself by how many friends you have, how much attention you get from boys, or how many girls you can get to like you. That's insecurity. Like that can't be the way you define yourself. By the people around you, their thoughts. I mean, that's why people can dress a certain way to attract attention to themselves. Maybe it's because they wear expensive clothes or no clothes or whatever kind of clothes it is, to get attention because they want other people to tell them how beautiful or pretty or attractive or strong they are. But see, a secure person, a person that is okay with who they are, they're defined by who is in them. That's Jesus. By the person they are within themselves. You see, this is where it comes into. Like God says that you are a work of art, right? And that's because you have God's signature, God's handprint on you. You have God's DNA inside of you, right? And that's what should define you, is what God says about you and who God created you to be. Because everything on the outside can change. The Bible says everything else is going to pass away one day. But who God created you on the inside, that's the one thing that's going to stick with you forever. No matter who you are, God's signature, God's handprint, God's thumbprint is on the inside of you who created you to be. I love it because in 1 Corinthians 6, it's this whole list of all these things these people would do. He's, you know, the writer of this part of the Bible, he's saying like, look, you guys were jacked up, man. You guys used to be this and that. You were this and that. But on verse 11, it says, that's the way you were, but now you're in Jesus. Right? See, they acted a certain way because they didn't know who they were. And when they found out who they were, it changed the way they acted. Kind of funny because I remember back when I was in, like, especially like ninth, I don't know what it is, and maybe all my ninth graders, you guys can turn to this, but people do so many stupid things in ninth grade. I remember like ninth grade was like my stupid year. And I did so many stupid things in ninth grade. Like, all my bad decisions happened in ninth grade. So if you're in eighth grade, make better decisions next year, okay? If you're in 10th grade, it's okay. There's hope, okay? There's hope. Last year was rough. It's okay. But and that's just the way I feel, right? And I remember just making mistake after mistake. And I'm thinking, how can I stop this? How can I get over this? You ever feel like it's just like you're on like this trip where it's like, darn it. God, if you forgive me, I'll never do it again. I'm not doing it. Darn it. God, if you forgive me, I'll never do this again. I'm not doing it. Darn it. God, if you forgive me, I'll never do this again. Darn it. And you just get like on this like cycle of doing stupid things sometimes. And you hate yourself. And you just get so angry at yourself sometimes. I don't know if it's just me. But, you know, and I remember I kept on doing those things until I finally got a hold of, I'll never change who I am on the outside until I change who I am on the inside, right? Like, it wasn't until I dealt with the inside of my life that the outside of my life would change. And that's why we get stuck in things, whether it's gossip, whether it's, you know, pornography, whether it's just talking back to your parents, wanting to run away, depression, you're always coming back to that thing where you just hate your life. We get stuck with those things because we try to fix the problem instead of the root. And in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul said, you guys used to be this way until you were that way, until Christ Jesus became a part of your life. You see, a thief will always steal, right? Because that's what thieves do. Thieves steal. But if you let God give you a new name, if he changes you to somebody that's generous, generous people don't steal. Right? But as long as on the inside you identify, as long as on the inside you know that you're this way or that way, you'll always do those things that keep us away from God. You know, Matthew 12 says, out of the abundance of a heart, a person speaks. And look, man, a person can only lie for so long. Can a brother get an amen? Right? Like, no, like if you got it inside of you, it's coming out of you. All you got to do is eat a lot of Mexican food, and you know that's true, okay? You can't keep it in forever. And it's the same thing with evil inside of us. If it's in you, it's going to come out. And we can hide it from mom or dad. We can keep it from the church people. But one day, it's going to come out unless you deal with it from the inside to the outside. Because out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. Last verse here, and we're gonna break into groups in a minute. In Matthew 23, there was this group of people named the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were kind of crazy. They were like the church leaders of the day. And the problem was Jesus was always mad at them, which is kind of funny because they were like the church people. And Jesus was always mad at these church people because they were hypocrites, right? They said one thing, they acted another way. That's what they did. And these people would always get Jesus so mad. He ends up telling them something on how their lives look. He said, your lives are like a dirty cup. He says this in Matthew 23. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. So you guys are hypocrites. You live one way and you talk a different way. He says, you tithe mint and dill, cumin, all these things that are really valuable, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. He says, these things you should have done without neglecting the others. He's like, you guys are like blind guides. And then he breaks it down right here, verse 25. He says, now, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you church leaders. You guys are hypocrites. He says, this is where he breaks it down. He says, you clean the outside of the cup, but inside you're full of greed and indulgence. You blind Pharisee. Look, man, you got to clean the inside of the cup so the outside would be clean too. I have a dishwasher. Does anybody have dishwashers at home here? Or are you the dishwasher? I don't know. Like, right? Okay, I've noticed this, is that if you put the cup upside down in the dishwasher, a lot of times it gets clean. Because, like, the little jets go, the thing, I don't know, magic happens inside of there. The window doesn't work, so I can't see what's going on in there. It just magically happens. But sometimes if you put a cup the wrong way or something falls on top of it, the little jets, they'll wash the outside of the cup, and then like the inside never gets clean. So when you go to like drink, you ever like drink out of a cup and you get that smell? Woo, that's not clean. You ever got that before? Especially if there's like milk or something in it before. It's like, that's not, no es bueno. And it's clean on the outside, but on the inside where it counts, is nasty. That's what these people were like. And a lot of us, if you don't recognize who God's created you to be, you can look really good on the outside, but inside, you smell like rotten milk. You nasty. You see, if you want to change the way you act, if you want to change what you do, if you want to get over that thing, you've got to look on the inside and say, God, who did you create me to be? Am I acting like a work of art? Or am I acting like a piece of trash? Right? Because if you look at yourself and you feel like trash, then you're going to act like trash. I don't know if that's rude or not, but I said it anyway. But if you look at yourself as somebody that God wonderfully and fearfully made, all of a sudden, you're not going to get involved with mess because I am wonderfully and fearfully made. I am a work of art. I don't got time for that mess. Why? Because on the inside, you know who God's created you to be. You don't got time for that. See, that's what God's calling us to do, to worship like we were made to worship, to love like we were made to love, to live like we were made to live for Him. And if you know that on the inside, it's going to show on the outside, because that's who you were created to be. If you had amnesia, that's how you need to be remember. That's how you need to remember what you need to remember about yourself. Is that God's fearfully and wonderfully made you. You are His work of art, and you are the tip top of all of His goodness. If you guys got something out of God today, let's give Him praise. So tonight,